Thank you, Charlie. Good morning. Before we get started, I'd like to see a show of hands, all of the daily Bible readers. If you're a committed daily Bible reader, keep your hand up and we'll get a count so we can put it up on the board. We're good. Bo did the count this morning in place of Duke. While growing up in the Catholic Church, we were taught things about God and about religion. We were never formally taught that the Catholic Church was the church of the Bible. However, it was taught in a way. It was taught. We were taught that, and we learned that, not in a specific, this is what it is, but we had that belief because we learned it. I never heard the phrase sound doctrine until I was introduced to the Church of Christ. So what does sound doctrine mean? Doctrine simply means something that is taught. Pretty simple. And the definition of sound is this: free from error, fallacy, or misapprehension. Sound, something that is taught. Doctrine, free from error, fallacy, or misapprehension. Something that is taught which is free from error, fallacy, or misapprehension. Sound doctrine. The Bible has a lot to say about sound doctrine. I'd say that's a good definition there. But when we are receiving doctrine, we are being taught something. How do we know that we're getting sound doctrine? In fact, modern times, there's so much information out there. People say, well, I know it's true because I read it on the internet. That doesn't necessarily mean something is true. And just because someone is a religious leader or a preacher doesn't mean that what they're telling you is true either. It could be sound doctrine and it could be very well false doctrine. We need, if we don't know how to determine between sound doctrine and unsound doctrine, or biblical teachings and unbiblical teachings, we need to find out, because 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 21 tells us, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. That means we need to set out to prove those things that are being taught are right. You have a Bible class teacher standing before you that teaches something, don't just take it for granted, man, he's really good, he's a smooth speaker. Take it for granted that that's the truth or that that's right. He may be teaching you exactly what's in the Bible, but he's twisted it and made it say something that it doesn't actually say. Paul, just prior to his death, reaches out to the young evangelist Timothy. Let's consider something for a second. Or Paul's position here. He's nearing the end of his life, and he knows it. There's a young man who is as close to him as a son could ever be, and this young man is going to follow in his footsteps after he's gone. And so he offers him advice. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. It says here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead. That just means the living and the dead, at his appearing and his kingdom. And he tells him, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering, listen to this, and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Now, has that time come? Paul tells Timothy there's a time coming when they will not endure sound doctrine. That time has come, has festered, and has stayed. And it's all over. Everywhere we go, we hear people teaching things and claiming things that just are not so. People will say things, and I know every one of you probably are spend more time around people who are not Christians than you do around Christians, because we're out in the world and we're having to live in the world, and we hear things, and oh, they're religious people. They got the little fish on their back bumper. They have the What Would Jesus Do bracelet. They have all of that stuff going for them. But when you sit down and talk to them about what they teach or what they wherever they worship teaches, it's not the same as what the Bible says. It's a twisted version of that. So who are the ones who will not endure sound doctrine? Certainly not the people who see or hear sound doctrine and just make a decision that they don't want to listen to it or heed that, right? Consider this. I believe the greatest problem concerning doctrine, or at least in modern times, is that sound doctrine has been watered down and polluted or perverted to the point that people begin to believe some weird watered down version of it to be the truth. Well, we believe this is true. That's not what the Bible says. Well, I know it says that there, but that's not what it means. I don't know how many times I've had people say, that's not what that means. Apparently the apostles were wrong when they said that that's what that means. And it's real hard for us sometimes to have taken on the false doctrine for so long that the real doctrine doesn't seem right. When it says that these people would not endure sound doctrine, that means that it was presented to them, but they couldn't handle it. Let's say, for instance, that you're a coffee drinker and you like your coffee strong and black and you can't have it any other way. You drink weak coffee, it's like, this is water. How can anybody drink this? And so you're drinking this hot, strong black coffee, but the person that's making your coffee for you, every day they make your coffee, they weaken it just a little. Just a tad. I mean, they take a half a teaspoon of the coffee out of it each day, and you just keep drinking this. It's good coffee. After about 3 months, your coffee is half as strong as it was 3 months ago, and you don't even know it because it's just been weakened, and that's what you're used to. And then 3 more months later, you get used to it. It just keeps getting weaker and weaker. And then all of a sudden, they put the full dose in there, and you take a drink of it, and it's bitter, it's strong, and it's like, oh, this is horrible. I can't stand this. What did y'all do to my coffee? You ruined it. Oh, they just gave you back what was real, the strong stuff. Why is the coffee so strong? It's unbearable. I can't have it. I need something else. The illustration has been proven through life many, many times. I can remember not too long ago, and most of y'all probably remember that I was had a bout with kidney stones, and the doctor told me, he said, they ran a bunch of tests to figure out what was causing it, and please help me find out what's causing it. And he said that it was too much salt and not enough water. No problem. I'll drink a gallon jug a day or more if I have to, and I will never touch a grain of salt again because I love salt, and I'd put it on everything I had. I would put salt on pizza. I don't care if it was something salty. I put salt on because I love salt. But not as much as I hate kidney stones. So I'm going to do away with salt. So I quit eating salt altogether. It's out. It is totally out. Now it is amazing to me how salty pizza is. I never could taste it before because I put so much salt on it. Just a regular plain piece of pizza tasted bland. Likewise, people who have been subjected to sound doctrine for any period of time can readily recognize unsound doctrine right away. However, if someone is being subjected to a watered-down doctrine like that coffee, once they hear sound doctrine, it's unbearable, or so it seems. They're unable to endure that. It's unfortunate how so many people in the world today have never even heard sound doctrine. All they know is false doctrine. All they've ever heard is a false narrative of what this is what the Bible says. People telling them this is what it says, rather than them reading it and saying, I get that. I understand that. Now I understand it. And looking at it in the big picture, what was taught in the first century church? Why did they do it that way? Well, we're not there. We're not the first century anymore. We have advanced. The Bible hasn't changed. Our worship should reflect their worship. And I don't think we're 100% there. We're doing the best we can considering the times. But as far as first century worship in the New Testament church, they didn't have all the things that most of these denominations have and a lot of people within the church believe. It was basic. It was, here's the worship practices. And that's what we try to do. It's a good practice when we're teaching God's Word or when we are being taught God's Word that we keep that definition of the word sound in mind, free from error, fallacy, or misapprehension. The phrase in our text is, they will not endure sound doctrine, meaning you can preach it, you can teach it, but they can't tolerate it. And that's a sad, sad thing. I've seen people get up and walk out of an assembly because what was being taught was more than they could handle. It was truth. It was biblical. Some people can't handle Bible truth. Someone can be a sound biblical teacher in almost all things, but if he's unsound in one thing, then he's a false teacher. He's close. I've heard people say things, well, they're not spot on about everything, or they are spot on about everything except baptism, or they're right about everything about except this, or except that, or except if there's an exception, then it's not right. We have to be careful with that. Or they believe the same thing we do except for the musical instruments or the piano or the woman preacher or the pope or whatever it may be. They'll throw that except in there. Listen to the parable of the sower. Luke chapter 8 verses 5 through 8. Luke chapter 8 verses 5 through 8. It says, a sower went forth to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it, and some fell upon a rock. And as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it out. Other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. When he had said these things, he cried, he that is that hath ears to hear, let him hear. In the parable, the seemingly careless sower spreads his seed, scatters it, and some fell here, some fell there. You ever knew a sower or a farmer? They don't do that. They don't just go scatter, just jumping around, throwing seed everywhere. They put it in place where it is going to be where? In that most fertile soil. That's the idea. But the parable was given to us so that we can understand something. We miss one portion of this parable every single time we read it. I think without fail we've overlooked this more times than anything else. And it is this point. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Those people were not listening to what was being said. They were not hearing. So many people today refuse to hear, and they are represented by the various types of soil that the good seed fell on. They would not endure sound doctrine. Jesus explains the parable, and he says it in Luke chapter 8 and verse 15. Luke chapter 8, verse 15, he says, but that on good ground are they which in an honest heart and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. From this we gather that those who will not endure sound doctrine do not have an honest and good heart. They wouldn't keep it. They wouldn't keep it. Well, I'm an honest person. I'm a good person. There's a lot of good people out there. But the scripture is plain and it says what it says. Jesus himself explains the parable. Those who would not hear it, which would not keep the word, they did not have a good heart. So then how does that affect us as a congregation? How does that affect us as individuals? Because individually we need to make sure that we are right and that we are doing what's right. We want to rub off on other people. You influence people in your lives everywhere you go. The people that see you and the people that you come across are influenced by you one way or the other. By the way you act, the way you speak, the way you carry yourself. All of it should reflect Christ. You imagine that? You know what a reflection is? You imagine leaning over a pool of water and looking into it, and you look down and you see the reflection of Jesus in there when you look in there. Wouldn't that be something? In a sense, that's the way the world should look at us. They should see Jesus living in us. How does that affect us? Let's look at a few things. I have a Church of Christ national directory. I have several prints of that. The latest one I have is old. It's 2015, which is a while back. But that's the most recent one that I could find. As of 2015, listen to this, there were two congregations of the Lord's Church listed in Divine, Texas. One is Rose Hill, the other is listed as a One Cup affiliation meeting in people's homes. Lytle is listed as having two congregations, the one on Main Street, and another one that is also listed as a One Cup affiliation with a separate Spanish ministry. None in Moore, none in Castroville. The one congregation listed in Von Army, but it is listed as a San Antonio congregation. none in La Coste. Pleasanton lists two congregations, one on North Main and the Verde congregation, which is non-institutional, only has about 20 members. Jerdenton also lists a non-institutional congregation with 13 members. Bigfoot congregation is also listed. There is a congregation listed in Pearsall, and Bandera lists two congregations, but one is the one that is at Camp Bandina, which is also a sound congregation. Hondo mentions one congregation. That's 13 congregations right within our area, 13 congregations of the Lord's Church, so to speak. And how many of them would you say are sound congregations? Drive 100 miles and ask, tell somebody there, I'm going to be going to the Divine Natalia area, Lytle area, and I'm going to need to go find a good congregation to worship at. Do you know of any sound congregations down there? And what would they say? Everyone within the Lord's Church throughout the state of Texas ought to know that there's a sound congregation where you worship. If you're worshiping in a congregation that's not sound, then why are you there? It's interesting to note that we have this going on right here. When in 2008, Stephen and I started a quest, you may say, to try and go to all these little congregations and to shore them up, to help strengthen them so that we could be sound. Hondo has a sound congregation right now. They're going through some trouble, but what does it take to have a sound congregation? Stephen and I stopped and talked to when we were working on that ministry, we stopped and talked to the preacher there at Lytle that was there at the time, and he was moving. He had lost his job, and they gave him 90 days to get out of his house. And he was out there, and he was selling stuff, and we stopped and talked to him. He said, I'm going to a real church. I'm leaving here. I'm going to preach for a real church somewhere. Really? He had been arrested for stealing beer from a local grocery store. Actually, once you found out who he wasn't even a member of the Church of Christ, and they hired him as a preacher there. What does that say about a congregation that's not sound enough to hire a sound preacher? We need to be careful. Our eyes need to be open, our ears need to be open, and our Bibles need to be open. Amen. And we need to pay attention to the Word of God. The whole thing that happens, you got a beautiful haircut, you've got beautiful kids, you've got a beautiful wife, you've got a beautiful family, you've got a beautiful house. You're not going to be judged on none of that stuff. We're going to be questioned about the Bible and about scriptural things. Sound doctrine is what we're going to stand in judgment over. These things, the words of Jesus. We need to understand that whenever sound doctrine is being spoken of, you will hear things like, well, they have a good sound congregation over there. But you seldom hear of individuals being spoken of as sound, except when they're not. He's a false teacher. Stay away from him. And individual members, y'all don't have that spotlight. Preachers happen to be on a pedestal oftentimes. They what they say is being published or is being broadcast. Everybody hears it and they can say, that guy's a false teacher. If he doesn't repent for that, he's a false teacher. We need to let everybody know. Label him. But individual members, it's hard to say what everybody believes. We need to all be on the same page. We need to open our scriptures, open our Bibles and get into the Word of God. It's always as a whole when we hear about sound doctrine. That means that as individuals, we need to make up the hedge. We need to be so sound individually that we form a sound congregation. We are the family of God. Which we have here a sound congregation, but congregations which were once sound and are no longer such is because they let their guards down and they slowly let false doctrine in. That's okay. Y'all see anything wrong with that? No, I don't either. Okay, we'll have it. And then something else and something else and something else until they're no longer recognizable. Do we have to have Church of Christ on the sign? Can we just take that off? Yeah, please do. Because you stopped being the Lord's Church a long time ago. We have to be careful with that and we don't let that in. That's why God's plan of having a plurality of elders and deacons works. They are to watch over and guard the flock. When the church was established in Acts chapter 2, those people had a hunger for the Word of God. They wanted to know what God expected from them, and they intended to deliver. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. They continued in the apostles' doctrine.
The number of believers was being added to the church daily as souls were being converted. Those souls did as they were added to the church and continued steadfastly. They did those things that those that were already there were doing, continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Let's continue in that. Not new doctrines, not anything else. We sometimes look back at passages like this and say, those people back then were really faithful. Must have been neat to have the apostles right there before you so that you could follow their doctrine. What do you think the Bible is? You realize that the majority of the New Testament is made up of the apostles' doctrine, and it was given to us so that we could remain steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine just like they did. Why then can't we seem to find the importance in our lives? Listen to what the psalmist says, Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11. Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11. I know this is an Old Testament passage, but let's look at this. Psalm 19, verse 7 through 11. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Did you catch that? The law of the Lord is perfect and sure and right and pure and clean and true and righteous and is more to be desired than anything. Yet countless hordes of people will forsake the assembly week after week, month after month, year after year, and never think anything of it. Can we look at those people and say, look at how close to God they were? The word of the Lord is true. The word of the Lord is perfect. The word of the Lord. And then to people today, it's just another book on my shelf is all it is. Bunch of old words by a bunch of old people that are dead and gone. That seems to be the attitude, and that's a scary thing. People miss the assembly week after week and have the audacity to accuse the church of not providing them with what they need to grow. You have the Bible. We have the Bible in our hands. If we don't open it, it'll never help us. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9. It says here, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. I know that passage is directed at the Israelites just before they entered into the promised land, but the principle of that passage is just as applicable to us today as it was to them back then. We need to put the Word of God in our hearts. Amen. What happens when we hear something we think of? What do we think of? Do you think of the Word of God? Do you think, listen to what they're saying there? God says something different. We should be so attuned to God's Word that when something else comes across, that ain't right. Anybody ever seen Monopoly money? Has any of you ever picked up a $100 Monopoly bill and thought it was a real $100 bill? You're like, it's not even close. It's the wrong color. It's too simplistic. It's too small. It's too short. It's just, and it's goofy looking. It looks like play money. Because it is play money. However, somebody from another country might look at that and say, is this American money or what is this? I don't know where this money comes from. They may look at it. Have you ever looked at foreign money and look at it and says, it looks like Monopoly money. Their money looks weird. It doesn't look the same to us. We will recognize the real deal when we know what the real deal is. When we know what the real deal is, we will recognize the fake. We recognize Monopoly money as play money because we know what a real $100 bill looks like. Even if we've never sat down and really examined one, pretty easy to tell. There are counterfeiters that can make some real, real close, but the experts can go back and see. We, therefore, need to be experts when it comes to the Word of God. Amen. So that we can see when something false is being taught and we can understand God's Word. I'm not talking about reading books and reading, studying worldly history and all. I'm talking about the Bible and the Bible alone. See what the Word of God says. There is a lot said about doctrine in Scripture, and rightly so, when you consider the fact that it is through the Word of God that we get the teachings of God and the commandments of God, or doctrine. Second John chapter 1, verse 9, 2 John, there's only one chapter in 2 John, but verse 9 of 2 John, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son." I once knew a guy that told me, he said, "I've taken pretty much what I like from several different denominations, and I've put together a teaching that I really like and I can live by." It's not a guide for you to find something that makes you happy with your life. I like these shoes. I happen to like brown shoes, but I like black shoes too. So I bought a pair of black and a pair of brown, and I just wear the left brown and the right black, and that way I can have the best of both worlds. I'll just pick and choose. You ever see somebody with two different color shoes on? You're thinking, somebody's been drinking in the kitchen? Or there's a problem. Somebody's colorblind. Something wrong. So when someone starts a mixed doctrine that is contrary to Scripture, there may be a problem there. How many people do we know today who do not have God because they do not abide in the doctrine of Christ? And how many worshipers of God worship in vain because their doctrine is not sound? Matthew chapter 15 and verse 9. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 9, a very simple passage. Jesus simply says here, "But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." There's that word doctrine again. They're teaching for doctrines, that is, they're teaching that their teachings are from God when they're actually from men. Teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. So they're taking the commandments of men and they're putting them over here and saying they're from God. We see that all the time today. Oh, this is what that says. If you don't believe me, here, let me show you how I can make it work. I don't know. A little bit of a contradiction there. It doesn't take long looking around us to see that there are a lot of false and unsound doctrines out there posing as doctrines of Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 through 5, this passage says, "If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself." There's a lot of hype these days about the fall of America. There are doomsday predictors who say we need to be ready for the collapse of America. And there are people that are getting ready. There are people that are buying up, hoarding canned goods. They're hoarding other things. They're buying things, learning how to make their own fuel, learning how to make their, buying solar panels and things like that. Because they are afraid that the leaders of this nation will turn us into what is equivalent of a third world country. And I can't say that I totally disagree that it does look like we may be headed that direction. It's interesting considering the impending doom of mankind as a whole, those of the world mainly, has been foretold and predicted for over 2,000 years, and people aren't getting ready for that. People are getting ready for a third world war, and how do we survive a nuclear holocaust? How do we survive all that? And not preparing for an eternity with God, either an eternity in heaven or an eternity in hell, because there's only going to be one of the other. There's not going to be no middle ground. For those of you that couldn't decide, we got this mediocre place in the middle. Hot some days and paradise other days is not there. There's no such thing. It's not going to happen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 25. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 25 says, "Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power, he will deliver the kingdom back to God." If this is true, that these are the last days, and the Bible says that it is true, therefore it must be true, then we need to be ready by refusing and refuting false doctrine and all things evil
1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21 and 22. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 21 and 22. It says here, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Sound doctrine is something that we need to be ready to prove. We need to be ready to endure. We need to understand and know the scriptures. If there was a test on any certain thing, if you were to find out, if you got a letter in the mail and said, as of next Friday, your driver's license will be revoked. Wait, there's some kind of mistake here. Nope, this is right. Your driver's license will be revoked, and there's a new system that's been put in place by our government, and you will be expected to go and take a written driving test like you took when you took your driver's ed test. Those people that are 17 are smiling. I got this. Those people that are in their 50s and 60s are like, what? I think you would study and make sure that you understand those rules so that you would pass that test. I'm not saying that God's going to give us a test, but He's only given us one thing that we really need to get to know, and that's His Word. And if we get to know His Word, everything else is irrelevant. If you have any need, if you have not obeyed the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there are some things that you must do. You must hear the Word of God. Romans 10, 17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You must believe. Hebrews 11, 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We must repent. Luke 13, 3, I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Acts chapter 17, verse 30 says, in the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. We must confess that Jesus is the Son of God, Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever will deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. We must put Christ on in baptism. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Some people don't take that. That's not enough. Acts 2:38, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Finally, we must remain faithful unto death. Matthew 24 and verse 13, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. If you have any need, the message is yours. Won't you come while together we stand and sing the song that's been selected.